This is the Nordic News.
Greetings, comrades. These are the news of the Nordic nation. This is a news broadcast produced by members of the Nordic Resistance Movement, and the following is a gathering of different news bites translated from our websites during the week gone by. We are talking week 29 of the current year, 2017. And we're trying a Nordic version this week, and we'll see how it works out. Please leave a comment and tell us what you think. And we're going to start off with some homo raping by racial strangers. Beard babies convicted of homo rape, sentenced to youth care. On the 16th of February this year, a 20-year-old mentally disabled man was tricked into an asylum center by two quote-unquote refugee children, Fawad, 17 years old, and Hussein, 18 years old. When the man arrived in the asylum center, the two invaders started raping him and filmed the entire event, which then became one of the most important evidence against him. The movie namely showed how the man was given instructions by Fawad and Hussein during the act and that he was sexually inexperienced. There was nothing which indicates that the victim wanted to have homosexual intercourse according to the court. Neither did he seem to be sexually excited, nor really understanding what was actually happening. After the rape victim's mother noted that he was acting strange, she later discovered the injuries around his anus, and she then reported this to the police. The man then revealed to the police that Fawad and Hussein had threatened to either hurt him or kill him if he had told anyone about what had happened. The invaders denied the crime during their interrogations and claimed that they didn't know that the man had a mental disability. The district court in Uddevalla claimed that the invaders are lying, seeing as people at the asylum home are supposed to have heard the perpetrators talk about the victim having a retardation. The district court has now convicted 17-year-old Fawad to youth care for rape and abetment of rape. 18-year-old Hussein was convicted to 7 months in youth care for rape. They're also supposed to pay the victim a fine of 110,000 kroner for damages. Fawad is supposed to pay an extra 15,000 kroner to the man. Youth care is a Swedish punishment aimed at youth, mainly between the ages of 15 to 17 years old, who need extra support or help from the social services. The punishment varies on case-to-case basis, depending on what the youth in question needs. Youth care should not be confused with closed youth care, where the latter involves the youth being imprisoned at a special type of prison for a maximum of 4 years. Jewish media experiencing harsh times. The Jewish-owned media group Mittmedia is currently experiencing losses of around 34 million Swedish kroner each year. This is evident after Mittmedia's new financial report for 2016. During the year, the leadership of the group was also divided, with heavy names such as CEO Thomas Pettersson and the chief editor Anna-Karin Lith being replaced. Part of the losses come from Mittmedia strengthening their monopoly on the media by buying local newspapers, which go on without making profits. This has caused many to be fired, and Mittmedia are being accused of having a witch hunt for people entrusted by the workers' union for various tasks. One reason for lack of profits among the local newspapers is their focus on reporting various sport experiences and politically angled fake news articles. They've also publicized articles that praise the Muslim Brotherhood's violent political extremism in Syria, as well as calling Al-Qaeda a resistance group, something that was disliked by a lot of readers. Another reason for Mittmedia losing readers is their habit of publicizing left-wing extremist articles that have, among other things, praised the communist who admitted he threatened to murder his own family. Mittmedia has also spread lies that the Jewish activist and Sweden Democrat Kent Ekeroth is an anti-Semite, and in propaganda purposes falsified asylum seekers' witness testimony in a well-known criminal investigation. Mittmedia has also been heavily criticized for their conscious choice not to give up the perp description the police went out with last week, when the police asked the public for help in finding racially estranged rapists. The reason for the censorship was that Mittmedia prioritized the mass immigration politics before giving the people important public information. The weird business strategies are in line with Mittmedia's business idea, though. Mittmedia is owned by a neoliberal foundation that pretends to run red, blue, and green local newspapers, but they de facto stand for the same neoliberal politics, which is even written in the owning foundation's organization chart. Earlier this year, Mittmedia tried to start a witch hunt against the Nordic Resistance Movement's fourth nest. In a short reply, the correspondent for Nest 4 described the series of articles as vacuous and concluded that similar attempts at stopping the growth of the resistance movement have previously proven counterproductive. Police cut down on counter-terrorism breaks the police commissioner's promise. Last Monday, the Swedish National Police Commissioner Dan Eliasson and Mats Löfving, the head of the National Operative Board, expressed pompously that there would be investments into counter-terrorism. 400 million Swedish kronor, approximately $48 million, will be given to the police up until 2020, and education is seen as a cornerstone in this investment. Here, education and tactics and equipment in cases of terrorism are lifted as extra prioritized. But this quote-unquote truth has shown not to have any grounds in reality. On the contrary, multiple of these educations, scheduled to take place during the autumn, have been cancelled, and the Stockholm area has been especially affected. Christer Palmqvist, assigned association chairman of the association, points out how strange it is that the National Police Commissioner and the Regional Police Officer, Ulf Johansson, both sit in the same board group, and yet they don't seem to draw in the same direction. It makes one wonder if they even talk to each other, says Palmqvist to the Swedish Daily Mail. He continues saying that it's important to invest in further education, as the need for education grows in the shadow of the lack of resources. Many newly trained police personnel need this knowledge. Furthermore, the amount of police which responds to 9/11 alarms will be decreased. Just in the Stockholm region alone, 10% of these have quit their job since May this year. It is a big staff crisis, in other words, which high-ranking police officers have spoken out about. But this is something the Swedish Interior Minister Anders Ygeman denies. He said earlier this year in June to the Swedish Daily Mail that it's an exaggeration to claim that the lack of policemen is a so-called crisis. Well, this is the same guy who is referring to our infamous no-go zones as go-go zones. Several million invested in teaching racial strangers how to swim. Through the Public Inheritance Fund, the Swedish Lifesaver Union have been allotted 7.5 million Swedish kronor that is going towards teaching racial strangers water safety, and also educating swimming coaches at the asylum homes. They call it swimming knowledge for newly arrived children and their families. We're going to spread water safety to as many asylum homes as possible. We're counting on reaching at least 65% of them. They must understand how water works, says the project leader Camilla Hansen. The project is planned to run during a 3-year period, and even last year the Lifesaver Union conducted similar projects when they had been given funds by the Public Sports Foundation and the Postcode Lottery. And in the picture attached to this article, there does seem to be a radical absence of actual children. And more swimming education for the racially estranged. Newly arrived invaders learn to swim. When newly arrived strangers come to Sweden, a large proportion of them cannot swim, which makes it so that they have to go to swimming school. Last year, the municipality of Örnsköldsvik started a swimming course for so-called new arrivals, but it was only immigrant men who registered, and this year the interest has been low. This is due, among other things, to the fact that racially estranged women do not want to or are not allowed to swim among other men. We cannot mix with others. If we do have full clothing, there is no comprehensive swimwear available here. We want to swim only with women or in full-length clothes, says Badria Othman from Ethiopia. According to statistics from the Swedish Life Saving Society, drowning accidents have increased significantly in Sweden, writes state media SVT, who draws a parallel between the statistics and the low level of swimming capabilities among racial strangers. Between 2007 and 2011, 63 people drowned during June, but between the year 2012 and 2016, 75 people drowned, an increase of 25%. And we'll continue with another one of these awesome integration projects, Clowns for Integration. Four selected associations have been given a share in 25 million kronor to benefit the migration process and integration in Sweden. Among other things, Clowns Without Borders have been granted support to create meetings through playing games. It is the European Asylum, Migration and Integration Fund, which has granted 25 million kronor to Clowns Without Borders, Jämtland Härjedalen Sports Association, Strömsund Municipality, and the Red Cross and their project ideas for better integration. More than 20 actors had applied for aid to be used for activities for third country nationals who has traveled to Sweden. The money is going to be distributed so that Clowns Without Borders can play themselves into strengthened relationships within the asylum homes, while Strömsund Municipality and the Red Cross, on the other hand, will review the conditions for a more humane and legal return process. Return process. I like the sound of that. Agency of Transport scandal keeps growing. Opposition parties ready to strike at sitting government. For several days, the so-called Agency of Transport scandal has grown and grown, and more details keep pouring out. Due to a safety leak within the transport agency, a large amount of sensitive information has been passed on to domestic and foreign third parties. This has meant, among other things, that the Serbian military had full access to the transport agency's IT network, where, for example, all of the Swedish Defense Forces' vehicles are included. At the same time, Interior Minister Anders Ygeman has confirmed that the government was aware of the safety leak, but pushed the transport agency to continue in the same routines as they had to save money. The scandal has now made the opposition parties within the alliance begin to open up for a declaration of distrust against the responsible government officials. In the case of the moderates, it may well be time to direct a declaration of distrust to one or more government councils who have been in charge of the security scandal, says the leader of the moderates, Anna Kinberg Batra. In addition to Minister of Interior Ygeman, the Minister of Infrastructure, Anna Johansson, was also mentioned. In the past, the Liberals and the Centre Party in particular have been hesitant of claiming distrust of the government, as this could only be done by the means of support from the Sweden Democrats. All alliance parties has also abandoned their votes when the Swedish Democrats in January 2015 requested a vote against the Prime Minister Stefan Löfven himself, and in October that year against Finance Minister Magdalena Andersson. Now, however, the tone seemed to have tightened, even in the middle parties. The Liberal Party leader Jan Björklund believes it is too early to begin a declaration of distrust, but does not rule it out anymore, and says that Stefan Löfven has to stop hiding. The Christian Democrats, Ebba Busch Thor, say that at the moment they are uncertain of whom the mistrust should be aimed at, but believes that more investigation is needed. The Sweden Democrats have for a long time been clear that they are prepared to drop the government of Löfven as soon as the other opposition parties are getting on board. Tony Wiklander, the party's representative in the traffic committee, now knows that the credibility of the government has hardly been strengthened with the new security scandal. Annie Lööf and the Centre Party have been the party who expressed the most negative opposition to busting the government. However, their stance in the matter is still unclear at this time. Prime Minister Löfven has, since he was elected, said that he will not accept a declaration of mistrust against any of his ministers and has promised to resign himself if such a thing were to happen. Well, Mr. Löfven, get ready to apply for some welding jobs in the near future. But more on the scandal regarding the transport agency on this week's Nordic Frontier. New poll from Sensio. Sweden Democrats ahead with a great margin. According to the July poll from Sensio and News Today, the Sweden Democrats are once again the biggest party with a whopping 26.8%. There is a great statistical margin down to the second place, where the Social Democrats land at 22.4%. Most noteworthy, however, is that the moderates continue to plunge further into the political abyss with only 12.7%. This means that the Sweden Democrats are now more than twice the size of the support than that of the moderates. The number means that the moderates can no longer be seen as the obvious government-forming party among the bourgeoisie. Now there is only 1.1% between the center party and the moderates. The social democratic state analyst Stig Björn Ljunggren believes that the scandal surrounding the transport agency can give the bourgeoisie parties new opportunities to score points in opinion polls. The scandal is growing, and despite great pressure from the outside, Prime Minister Stefan Löfven has not yet commented on the matter up until Sunday afternoon. It is a serious situation, and it is understandable that they now take the opportunity when they get into connection with the transport agency scandal. It offers them an excellent opportunity to get back into the game. The whole alliance gets a chance, says Ljunggren to News Today. He further claims that this is just an opinion poll, but purely psychologically, it is enough to say that there's a whole new political landscape now emerging. And again, more on the transport agency scandal on this week's Nordic Frontier. The following is a public statement from the Nordic Resistance Movement's leader Simon Lindberg on the tennis incident that happened at Swedish Open in Båstad the other day. It is a long one, so brace yourself and enjoy. And it has happened again. We have broken the rules. Walked straight into a game of tennis shouting, "Hail victory!" Is this a proper way to behave? We hear the lamentation from the reactionaries time and time again. In fact, every time we break away from the unwritten rules of the snobby bourgeoisie. There is whining every time we push back against racial strangers or the red mobs. It makes us look bad in the media when we use violence, they say. But should we instead stand idly by and have a few of our comrades get beaten to death and then call the police? There is whining every time we refuse to let the race traders trying to exterminate our people speak uninterrupted. Nice work debating by your tent in Almedalen, but was it really necessary to shout at the Green Party's leader Gustav Fridolin, calling him a traitor to our people? Yes, it was. There is whining every time we refuse to let the police push us around when they're trying to silence us and prevent us from practicing our rights. Instead, we should obey the police and convey our message in some run-down industrial area with nobody there to see us, instead of making trouble. There is whining every time we put up stickers of Adolf Hitler or burned a symbol of the abominable LGBT lobby, who just a few years ago openly supported pedophilia. They say we should be more strategic. Whenever we do anything other than keeping our mouths shut, we hear this damn whining. In this article, I don't mean to focus on the quetching of our enemies in the established media, the treacherous politicians, or the extreme left. Quite the opposite. Their complaints are positive to us and a measurement of our success. What I aim to focus on in this text are the complaints coming from the so-called nationalists, people who see no further than the end of their nose. These people should think twice before criticizing us, the only ones in the entire Nordic region fighting without any compromise for the same thing they themselves claim to fight for. In fact, many of the things they complain about only turns into a problem once the onlooker decides to view it as one. I am talking about the whining from the nationalists who strategically vote for the Sweden Democrats, from anonymous pundits that never themselves contribute anything to the cause, and from online activists that, from a safe distance from the harsh reality, records videos and podcasts about what is going on the streets without being a part of it. To those who say we are burning bridges, that we're only making things worse by annoying people, and that we should get serious, to these people I say we live and sacrifice ourselves every day for the struggle that these onlookers only observe from a safe distance. I am sorry to be the one to break it to you, but apparently I have to, since you can't see it for yourselves. We are living in a flaming inferno. As I am writing this, there are strangers meant to replace our people pouring over our borders. Men from parts of the world alien to us are molesting our Nordic women. Yet another no-go zone is born. Politicians make yet another decision to further the rights of everyone except white heterosexual men. New laws are put in place to render a national insurrection even more difficult, and the kosher media posts another 75 propaganda pieces to cover up what is actually happening. This is not a slow-paced transformation, where we can sit back for a few election cycles and see how things pan out. It is not a game where you get another go when things go belly up. It is not some crazy conspiracy theory. No, this is really happening, right now. It is reality most of us live every day as we go to work, drive our kids to school, and we go shopping in the supermarket. Being in full-scale war against the entire world with occupational forces on either side of the hedge is a parable not too far-fetched. The reactionaries mumble with a gun barrel in their mouth, "Do not retaliate, it will look bad. It is better for us to vote for a party that wants to reduce the number of invaders passing our borders, or you could record a podcast carefully saying that the occupational forces are bad for us. Maybe post a forum thread about it." It is because we have politely played along that we are now ended up in this position. Had we not been too afraid to stick our necks out, to go against the tide and to stand up for ourselves, the forces of darkness would have been cast out from their positions of power a long time ago. How are we supposed to challenge these tyrants at their own game if we keep playing by their arbitrary rules? Why should we play fairly according to the codes and conducts when the enemy does not? How strategic is it to not use every opportunity we get to further our cause? When we use unconventional methods, for example the one used at the Swedish Open, to get the message out, it accomplishes at least three things. 1. We are seen by the entire world despite operating under a system where no one wants to give us publicity of any kind, not even local press. 2. We show others that if you only use a bit of imagination, it is possible to take a stand with minimal resources. And 3. We increase the polarization in society even more. Those who already hate us despise us even more. Those who already like us now love us even more. And those with a neutral stance are forced to pick a side. Our activities forces people to react. In a land full of zombies, where nobody cares about anything but themselves, every type of reaction is positive. So we stir the pot and run the risk of spilling some of the porridge, rather than having it burn to the bottom. We are, just as the name suggests, a resistance movement, not a middle-class party among others. Our revolutionary stance is what's going to bring us victory. When the people have grown tired of getting the same old results no matter what they vote for. Other nationalistic parties have not failed despite trying to adapt, but because of it. We do not moan, but instead involve ourselves in revolutionary struggle. A struggle fought in such a way that it doesn't by default kill our movement by leaving all of our members to waste away in prison. If this is not to your liking, then let this go idly by and watch on when time runs out. Just because you yourself lack the courage to challenge and break out of your comfort zone does not mean that we have to join your ranks in hoping that our enemies will simply put down their arms and surrender this battle for our future. Instead, we fight back in whichever way we find fit, and we do it by playing by our own rules. More on the tennis incident on this week's Nordic Frontier. And that is all we had for you this week. Our thanks go out to the diligent translators who made this project possible, and also to the listeners who show their support by pitching in financially. We would also like to thank the artist Donheim for lending us some of his great-sounding Nordic tunes. If you're interested in donating to aid in our struggle, you can do so by following the links posted in the show notes. Stay strong, comrades, and stay brave. Join us next week for another briefing on the events in the Nordic nation. Hail victory!